Tonight we're going to learn the next shar, the next gate in the Orchos Tzadikim, and that is the Shar HaKas, the gate of anger. Hopefully we don't have any major anger issues over here, but nevertheless it's important to know the impact of this midah, how to avoid kas, how to avoid anger, and how to channel it in the right direction. The Orchos Tzadikim says that the midah of kas is a midah ra'ah. It's a terrible midah. And it says it indicates a disease in somebody's nefesh. There's something wrong in your neshama. In fact, kas and gaiva, which we know from the first shar in the Orchos Tzadikim, is the basis of all bad midos, he says are intricately linked. If there's gaiva, if there's haughtiness, there's anger. And if there's anger, there's definitely haughtiness. They often come hand in hand together. Now, the Rambam writes in Hilchos Deos and Perek Beis, that unlike other midos, where you're supposed to have a balance between them, how to balance that midah, he says the midah of kas has no good side. There's no good way to use kas. That's not a thing, and it should be avoided at all costs. The Ramban has a famous letter, the Igeres HaRamban, and in the opening to his letter, he says that a person should be tisnoheg tamid l'davar kol devarecha benachas, you should speak benachas softly, l'kol adam v'chol eis, to every person at every time, uvizet tenatsa minakas, and will be saved from anger. Shehi midah ra'a lahachti b'nei adam. It is a bad midah that causes us to sin, says the Ramban. And he explains because it leads to other averos. Now, the Gemara in Yevama Sarivav records that Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yossi once had a machlokas, and their argument was filled with such anger that the Sefer Torah was torn apart because of their anger. In the heat of their debate, they pulled at the Torah from one side to the other until the Sefer Torah tore. And the Ramban, in his Chedusha on Masech HaSchulin, understands that their kas led to other averos. Their anger led to other bad things happening. This is also the understanding of the Rush and the Meiri. Rav Tzedek HaKohen writes the same thing in Parshas Re'eh in the Pre-Tzadik, that anger is a stepping stone to other bad things. The Gemara Nedarim Chaf Beis tells that Gehenim rules over a person who has kas. The proof is from a pasuk in Kohelis in chapter 11. The pasuk says, "V'haser kas melibcha," you should remove anger from your heart. "V'haver ra'ah mibasarach," and remove bad from your flesh. And the Gemara says, "There's no ra'ah. There's nothing bad like Gehenim. That's the worst thing. And the Shechina is not important to such a person." And the Gemara understands, if you want to remove ra'ah, you want to remove anger, you want to remove bad from your life, you have to remove kas. And the Gemara goes on to say that such a person who has anger forgets their learning, they become foolish, we'll talk about that later on, and that kas causes a person to make mistakes. In fact, the Gemara in Pesachim, on Das Samech Vav, says that Moshe Rabbeinu became three times in his leadership roles with the Jewish people, and all three times Moshe Rabbeinu got angry, he made a mistake in halacha. He forgot a halacha, he paskened the incorrect thing. And the only three times Moshe made a mistake is because he got angry. Rechaim Shmulevitz in Hesichos Musar explains that it's not a punishment that Hashem removes a person's knowledge from when they're angry. That's not what it is. It's a metzias, it's a natural connection that ka'as burns up a person's chachma. When a person is angry, it takes away all of your wisdom, it consumes it, there's nothing left. And therefore, even if you have the right to be angry, you don't have to be the right to be angry. Whether you're angry for the right reasons or angry for the wrong reasons, anger is always going to be damaging. Rav Chaim Vital writes in the Shaar Ruach HaKodesh that Ikar Ashichacha Hi Baba Avar HaKas. The main reason we forget things is because of anger. And Rav Chaim Palagi says that one shouldn't even look at somebody who's angry because it might cause you to forget things. That's how far we have to stay away from anger, to not even look at somebody who's upset. So what happens to a person who has kas, right? We said that anger leads to other bad things. So what types of bad things happen? So the Orchos Tzadikim says that kas makes a person lose all reasoning, that we act like a fool. The Mishnah Pirkei Avos Perek Beis says that a person with anger cannot teach other people because no one's going to want to learn from you if you're always getting angry. They're going to be afraid to ask questions. They're going to be afraid to get to know you. They're not going to want to hear what you have to say. They're going to be intimidated by you. People don't like someone who's angry. They're annoying to be around. Even their own family members don't want to be around people who have anger. The Chafetz Chaim, this is recorded in the biography of the Chafetz Chaim, noted that when Yitzchak instructed Yaakov to not take a wife from Eretz Canaan, from the Canaanim, he had to run away, right? He didn't do it with anger, because he knew that wouldn't be an effective way to teach Yitzchak, to teach Yaakov not to take a wife from Eretz Canaan. What does the Pasuk say? Vayikra Yitzchak al Yaakov vayivarachoso. He called Yaakov over and he gave him a bracha. And then only after he gave him a bracha, and he was positive to him, that he told him that under no circumstances can you marry someone from Canaan. If you want to talk to somebody and teach them, it can't be with anger, because they're not going to be receptive. The Marsha Nedarim explains that the reason why Kas causes one to forget their learning is because no one wants to learn Torah with you. You're not going to have a chavrusa. No one's going to want to share Torah ideas with you. No one's going to teach you. No one's going to learn from you, because you're unpleasant to be around. It will naturally make you unknowledgeable in Torah by being angry, because you're not going to have access to anywhere to learn and to grow. The Orach HaTzaddikim says that an angry person doesn't forgive people who overlook things. He's very makbid, always pointing out negative things, what this person is doing wrong, how they're not doing this right, always looking for problems and people to pick on. He'll always end up with machlokas, having no rachmanis, no mercy on anybody, just being a miserable person. Kas prevents people from having kavana during their davening, because they can't think properly, they're always angry, and they can't experience hashras hashchina, being close to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Orach HaTzaddikim says that an angry person will never become wise, because anger drives away chachma, and the reason is that he'll never hear his own mistakes, he'll never learn to correct himself, people won't share wisdom with him, and therefore he'll never ever become a chacham. Now this happens to touch upon the idea that that lifnei iver is permitted for midos, because there's a discussion whether are you allowed to get somebody upset to make them angry to test them. Are you allowed to do that, right? Let's say you want to hire somebody. So you want to test how they're going to do under pressure. So you put them in a room and you raise the temperature in the room and it's very warm and you do annoying things, there's annoying beeping things, and you make them wait because you want to see if they can get upset and be able to handle themselves. So is that permissible in halacha to cause somebody to have bad midos? Am I allowed to cause somebody to display kas, to display anger, because I want to test them to see how they're going to do? So it could be that we have to look at the sugi a little bit more about kas, about whether you're allowed to cause somebody to get angry for a purpose in order to learn something about them. Kas creates azus. It creates chutzpah in a person, because they won't want to be mekabel emes. They won't want to accept truth. And he quotes the words of a chacham. He doesn't say who the chacham is, but often the Orach HaTzaddikim does this. He says, I heard in the name of a chacham, a wise man. We don't always know who that person is. We don't always know the source. So, but he says, I heard in the name of a wise man, that if you want to know if someone should be your friend, you should make them angry. Okay? You should make them angry. And if he admits the truth while he's angry, so then you should make him your friend, because it means that he can overcome that midah of kas and admit the truth. But if he doesn't admit the truth while he's angry with you, then you shouldn't be friends with them. That's a good way to test somebody. If somebody's upset at you, but they can still speak the truth to you, that means they'll be a good friend. Now, people become physically destructive when they're angry. And it's a form of avodah zarah, says the Orach HaTzaddikim, because this emotion rules over you. And this happens to... Oops, sorry, one second. Okay. The Ran in Adarim says that kas brings a person to be kofar b'ikr, to deny Hashem. The Gemara in Shabbos, kofhei, says that once a person who breaks something in anger should be viewed as an obed avodah zarah, as if he's worshipping idolatry. Why? If I break something because I'm angry, why does that make me an idol worshiper? Because it means that kas is ruling over me. It's like anger is my God, that I'm subjugated to the kas and not Hashem. So these are all the terrible things that come from anger. So how should you act when dealing with kas? So fine. So a person gets angry. So how can we act and how can we improve ourselves? So the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos in chapter 5 that there are four types of temperaments, four types of ways people act when it comes to a good person venting against somebody else. He says one type of person, the Mishnah says, one type of person is a person who's easy to become angry and easy to calm down. And now this person, essentially, his gain disappears in his loss. Meaning, it's very nice that I calm down easily, but like, why am I getting upset? That's so silly. It's a zero sum. I add something, I lose something. There's a type of person who, it's very difficult to get them upset, but once they're upset, it's very hard to get them to calm down. So the Mishnah says, this person, well, again, he's losing out. It's chaval, it's a waste, because it's very nice that it's hard to get you upset, but when you get upset, you're a miserable monster, and nobody wants to be around you. So that's not good either. But a person who's hard to get upset, it's very difficult to get them upset. But when they are upset, it's very easy for them to calm down. That person's a tzaddik. That's the type of people we want to be. We're not perfect. We're going to get upset. But if we're going to get upset, it should be very rarely. And if we do get upset, we should calm down very quickly. And the worst is, obviously, we can figure it out, a person who gets upset all the time, and when they get upset, they can never be calmed down. There are some times where a person has to act like they're upset. If you're rebuking somebody who deserves it, you have to be careful not to go too far, because it will push that person away from Torah and Hashem. But sometimes you need to display anger in order to portray a point, so that people understand that you're very serious, without actually feeling anger on the inside. If you suppress your anger, says the Orach HaTzaddikim, then it shows incredible strength. In fact, this is a mid of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, to be Erech HaPayim, right? To be slow to anger. We want to be slow to anger. We want to push away angry feelings. In fact, the Rambam writes in Hilchos Deos that the source for the Isser of Kas, how do I know in the Torah that it's Usser to be angry? It is V'halach to Bedrachav. That, as we mentioned a couple days in one of our classes, V'halach to Bedrachav. It's Usser to become angry because you have to be like Hashem. Hashem is slow to anger. So too, we also have to be slow to anger. Then the Orach HaTzaddikim says something that is very, very brilliant. He says if a person is ill, sick, or a person is hungry, then it's very easy to get angry. And therefore, you need to be even more careful. And for many people, this is a real truth. Many, many people show anger or get irritated and are irritable when they are hungry. And this is why it's very important to make sure that you have a good breakfast, that you eat responsibly, because when you don't eat for a long time, it can really affect your mood. And the Orach HaTzaddikim knew this, you know, hundreds of years ago. A very important yisod. Sometimes you're feeling angry, you're in a mood, and you're upset at people, it could be because you're hungry. You have to go get something to eat. It's always important to keep that in mind, especially when you're dealing with children. Sometimes children are acting up. Children are, you know, acting upset and they're throwing a tantrum. It could be because they're hungry. It could be because they're upset. I think Snickers used to run a ad campaign about being hungry. Is that correct? So, yeah. Yeah, Abby.
So, if you know that you're a person who gets really irritable or angry when you don't eat a lot, would that be enough of a reason not to fast on the
minor fast? No, I don't think that's a reason not to fast. You should just lock yourself in a room and read a sefer. That's probably what you should do. There may be, we could discuss about this person eating something before davening. That may be a discussion. If a person feels that the mood is very, very bad, like their irritable mood in the morning is very, very bad, and if they wait till davening, it's gonna, you know, they're gonna start a fight and start a machlokas, then maybe there's what to discuss. But, you know, get up quickly, daven, eat something, and you'll have a much better day. Now, the Orach HaTzaddikim brings a number of ways to control your kas, a number of ways to control your anger. Now, there's a fascinating study that has been done about the Inuit community in Alaska. Inuits are like Native Americans, the Native community who lived in Alaska before, you know, Europeans came to America. So in the Inuit community, it is 100% unacceptable to become angry. They don't display the emotion of anger. It's just not done. It's very remarkable, and it's crazy to think about it. It's just not done. It's frowned upon. It's like socially unacceptable to show displeasure and anger. It's just not done. And it's a very big discussion in among the Inuits. Well, how do you teach children? How can you reprimand children without displaying anger, being upset? How is that going to work? So they have a fascinating way that they are mechanech their children. I don't know if this would work for everybody, but they don't get angry at their kids. They don't. What they do is that they tell stories to teach the children the right way to act. They're scary stories. Like they'll say, you know, you have to be careful not to go near the water because like the water monster is going to come out and eat you or something like that. And they tell these types of stories in their community in order to keep the kids in line, but the parents don't lose their cool. And it's just part of their culture that it doesn't happen. So the idea is that every culture, community, society has ways to deal with anger. Some ways better, some ways not as much. But let's see what the Orach HaTzaddikim says about coping and dealing with anger. So he brings three things that you should think about to keep from getting angry. He says the first thing is to be quiet and remain silent. That's the first thing. Be quiet and remain silent. And if you don't talk up and you keep your thoughts to yourself and you kind of, you know, don't, and you hold your tongue, it'll be much better. So there's a beautiful Vart from the Stipler Gaon. And Makas Tzvardeya, Chazal tell us that the Pasuk says that a Tzvardeya came out of the water and then all of a sudden they were Tzvardeim, they were frogs. So how do we deal with the conflicts of the Pasuk? We all know this since we were in kindergarten. There was one giant frog, right? And they came and they hit the frog, and frogs came out, and they hit the frog again, and frogs came out, and there were frogs all over Mitzrayim. So what's the obvious question? No, what's the obvious question? Why do they keep hitting the frogs? If they saw the first time that the frogs were coming out of the big frog, they should have stopped hitting the frog. What's wrong with the Mitzrim? So the Stipler writes in his Birchas Peretz, and he says that a very important principle about how destructive anger is. He says when you're insulted, you feel the need to avenge the way you were treated. So what do? You respond back, right? Chutzpah, how do you talk to me that way? And you shoot back at the person. Now what happens? The person who insulted you, so he assaults you back, and they make it worse. And then it has this vicious cycle of useless retaliation until there's a full-blown machlokas, people get hurt, and everybody's miserable. So the same thing happened with the Mitzrim. The Mitzrim were faced with the threat of a frog, and their reaction was to hit it. They fought back. But more frogs came out, and it came after them. And their anger was worse. These attacking the frogs, I'm going to hit back again. I'm going to hit back again. There's going to be more frogs. I'm going to hit back and forth. And it failed, and they continued being aggressive, continuously hitting the frog, until the anger caused the whole Egypt was filled with frogs. So we see from here, says the Stipler, that the damage of anger is because we even feel the need to strike back. When somebody hurts you, when somebody insults you, 95% of the time, just be quiet. It doesn't need a response. Swallow it, because if you respond again, they're going to hit back, and you're going to hit back, and there's going to be more frogs, and more frogs, and more frogs, and more frogs, until there's going to be frogs in his bed, you know, frogs all over the place, and he's not going to know what to do. So that's point number one. Says the Stipler, says Yoch HaSadikim, you have to be careful not to strike back. And that's one way to control one's kas and to control one's anger. Two, he says, don't look at the person you're upset with. Sometimes if you focus on the person's face and who they are, it gets you more upset. It makes sense sometimes just to turn away. Remove yourself from the situation. Don't look at them. Look somewhere else. Don't focus on them. And that's another way, a second way to calm down. But then, says the Orach HaTzaddikim, the best thing to do is to not get angry at all. Because even a little bit of kas is much more difficult to control and getting out of hand. So let's try, says the Orach HaTzaddikim, to not get angry at all. Not say, oh, a little bit of anger is okay. We want to try to not get angry at all, because when we get angry, even a little bit, it's much harder to rein it in and to control it. I want to end, you know, this piece with a beautiful story. Rabbi Krohn tells the following story. Over a century ago, in the city of Shavil in Lithuania, There were no washing machines or dryers, and women did their laundry by hand, and they hung it out to dry on clotheslines in the alleyways. And one afternoon in Shavuot, there was a woman who was making her way home from the market, and she was annoyed by the sheets hanging in the alley that were in her way. So she pulled one of the sheets down into the muddy ground. She was annoyed, so she pulled it off the line, and she pulled somebody's bed sheets, threw it into the mud. So the owner of the laundry, her name was Chaya Musya, and she was standing nearby, and she was shocked by what she saw. Can you imagine? You spend all day working on the laundry, and somebody comes and throws it in the mud. But she didn't say anything. She controlled herself. And when this angry woman walked away, she picked up the sheets that were all messy, she washed them again, and she hung them somewhere else to dry. A few days later, the woman who had ruined Chaya Musya's laundry, her son became very, very ill. And it got worse and worse and worse, a high fever, and he had been perfect health a few days before, no signs of any illness, and now he was on death's door. So she wanted to get a bracha from a tzaddik, so she went to the home of the Rav of Shavuot, the great tzaddik Rav Yosef Zecharia Stern, a tremendous Talmud Chacham, a genius of geniuses, a very, very special person. And she cried to him, and she said her son was well just a few days ago, and now he's seriously ill, and she needs a bracha. So Rav Yosef Zecharia Stern listened to the whole story, and he explained to her that Hashem does everything for a reason, even though we don't always know what it is. And can you think of something about what happened? Why do you think this is happening to you? And she said, no, I can't think of anything. She said, can you think a little bit harder? There's got to be something that you did that Hashem might be sending you a message for. So for a few moments she thought, and she remembered the incident of the laundry. And he told her, if you know whose sheets they were, you should go to her home right away and ask her for forgiveness. That's the only way you're going to get kapara, and that's what the Rambam says. So she went to the home of Chaya Musya, the woman, and she knocked on the door. So her husband, Rav Avram, answered the door. And he opened the door, and she said to him, I have to speak to your wife right away. This is very important. I have to apologize for something I did to her. So Rav Avram said, she's not here. I'm sorry. And besides that, you couldn't have done anything wrong. You must be the wrong person, because she didn't say anything to me about anybody insulting her or hurting her feelings or doing anything bad to her. So you probably don't have to worry about it. So the woman started screaming, no, this is very important. Last week, I pulled down her sheets from the laundry that were hanging on the line, and I was so upset, and I threw them in the dirt. I was wrong, and I have to apologize. So Rav Ram said, no, you understand. I think you have the wrong house. That didn't happen. My wife did not mention anything about dirty sheets. I would certainly imagine if someone had upset her in such a terrible way, she would have told me about it, but she didn't. So go knock somewhere else. So the woman who had ruined the sheets left the house, and she's confused. And she doesn't know what to do, because that's her ticket for her son to get better. She was positive that it was Chaya Musya's laundry she had pulled down. She had even turned and seen her pick up the sheets afterwards. So she's frantic. She doesn't know what to do. She goes back to Rabbi Yosef Zecharia Stern. She's very nervous. And she told him what happened. So Yosef Zecharia Stern said, I know that family. They are very, very special people. The fact that she did not even tell her husband about what happened shows that she did not say anything to you how great she was after you ruined her laundry. And she had covered her brios. She preserved your dignity by not confronting you about the terrible thing you did. And she controlled her anger. And she didn't say anything to her husband. Most people certainly would have said something to their husbands. Obviously, says Yosef Zecharia Stern, this is a very special woman. So he says, that woman has had many, many miscarriages. She has not had any children. She's tried. And Rahman Litzlan, she hasn't come to full term in any of her children. So because of her merit, she'll forgive you and your son will be okay. But in her merit of what she did, I want to give her a bracha that she should have a son who'll light up the world. And that woman, Chaya Musya, eventually had a son, her only child, and his name was Rav Yosef Shalom Yashav, who'd become the Posek Ador and the Tzaddik of the generation. And just like Rav Yosef Zacharias Stern said, he enlightened the world with his Torah, and he became the leading posek of the generation. So we see in that remarkable story, which is 100% true, 100% true, 2 points. We see the damage and the pain that can come to somebody who cannot control their anger, and we see the bracha and the light that comes to somebody who can control their anger. So I can only give everybody here the bracha of the Ramban that he writes in his letter, that we should be matzliach b'chol derechacha v'tizka olam haba. We should be matzliach in our path of controlling our anger and bringing peace and shalom to people around us. And we should all be zochel olam haba. Okay, we'll stop here.